Hey guys and gals, thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Upshift Podcast. Me and Brian have a good one on this one, like we always do. All motorcycles, all the time. Somebody goes camping, and then they retire from camping. Biketoberfest was good. We talk about that. Brian, there in New Hampshire, is a Instagram star now. Doing burnouts in the driveway, getting thrown out of the HOA. That's what he's been up to. You'll see the video on Instagram. But we talk about all kinds of stuff. FXRs, road glides, falling over at gas stations, so much more in this episode. But again, all motorcycles all the time here at the Upshift Podcast. Thanks again for tuning in. I want a big shout out to all my Canadian downloaders. Thanks for checking out the Upshift Podcast and everybody that we met down in Biketoberfest and had a good time there. But again, thanks for tuning in to the Upshift Podcast, and we hope you enjoy this episode. Also, take a look at all of our sponsors, Suspension Technology, CNC Thunder, Indy Ridge Boots, and a few coming on the line upcoming for next year. Thanks again, the Upshift guys. Hey guys, this is Brian with the Upshift Podcast. When I ride, I got CNC Thunder riding with me. CNC Thunder Custom Motorcycles keeps my road glide in tip-top shape and all the bikes that I own. They keep me going down the road with all parts and service. Check those guys out on Instagram at CC Thunder. Check them out on Facebook at CNC Thunder and CNC Thunder Custom Motorcycles.com. They're here in my hometown, in Cowpen, South Carolina, and those guys are celebrating 25 years in business. 25 years says a lot about an independent motorcycle shop. They're doing it right. Get Thunderstruck at CNC Thunder Custom Motorcycles. Hey guys, let's talk suspension. When the Upshift guys ride, we ride with Suspension Technologies. Built to a standard, not a price. Mike and his team are American made as it gets. Check those guys out on Instagram at Suspension Technologies, on Facebook at suspensiontechnologies.com.
Hello guys and gals, it's Brian from the Upshift Podcast. Let's talk about Indy Ridge boots. I've been using their gloves with these cold days and they feel great. You know when you put something on and it just feels like quality? Well, that's what you get with Indy Ridge. The Upshift guys wear Indy Ridge boots and gloves, and I think you should too. It'll make your riding experience even better.
And welcome in to the Upshift Podcast with the host Brian and Brian. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. Good to hear your voice as always and talk about motorcycles.
Let's do it. Let's get right started.
Let's do it. What do we got on the agenda for tonight? I know there's going to be FXRs, road glides, Biketoberfest. Best time of the year to ride because our weather is a whole lot better. Even where you live.
Yeah, it's good for like, so about 11 o'clock to 3 o'clock is when we get it in, because it's starting to get cold at night here.
Then you just have to put on two flannels.
Yeah, well, we went for my annual foliage ride. Maybe, was it last weekend, I think?
Okay, yeah, I believe it was. Well, I was out of town.
Yeah, it was pretty cold. Yeah, I had full face helmet on. Long johns.
Oh, Indy Ridge gloves.
Yep. The only thing that got cold was my fingers a little bit, and that was about it. That was pretty good.
Okay. Well, you were on the FXR.
I was on the road glide.
Okay. Well, you can put the engine guard on there and put you some lowers to keep the some of the wind off.
Yeah, I thought about that.
And the hand guards. Those hand guards work.
Yeah, they do. They're not that cool looking to me, but they do work.
Well, I say I take mine off in the summer.
Yeah, there you go.
I literally just put them back on for the trip to Daytona for Biketoberfest.
Yeah, I can see that. But yeah, those lowers, the ones, just the fabric ones, even if I just put those on, because Edwin, Edwin's got those. Those work good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had them on I have a set that I keep in the soft tail. I was looking at it the other day. It has a gas leak. I still not remedied that. But yeah, I was thinking the other day I'm going to start riding it because it rides so much better when it's cooler. Yeah. Way better than any bike I have. That's the one I love to ride in. I say in the winter when it's cold. But so when you went on the Folar Drop, what was the temp? So when did you start out?
I'd say it was about 45 degrees when we started in the morning.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, and then it got up to about 64.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but, you know, we were climbing the mountain, so up the Congamongas and through there. So it was a little chilly up top. But
oh, I bet. Well, I mean, it's already snowing, 2 weeks ago at Mount Washington?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Their summer's about 3 weeks long.
Yeah, well, you open the pool on July the 4th, and you close it on July the 10th.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's going to hit mid-80s here by the weekend.
Well, actually, it's supposed to be 75 degrees here on Saturday, so...
You need to get up early and go.
Yeah, I'll be jumping on the FXR and doing some riding.
Yeah, hopefully I can get the gas leak on the soft tail fixed and... ride it. I'm going to go look at some parts for the Road Glide. We can dive into that now because it needs a whole lot more parts than it did before.
Oh boy. So let's go back real quick. The soft tail. So the gas leak, is it coming from the pet car, coming from the carburetor?
No, it still has, and I don't know why I never got this changed. It still has the plastic fuel inlet and it needs to be switched over to a brass one.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I walked in my garage, it's been, I say, a month or two, probably. And I was like, I smell gas. And I was like, I just rode the Softail a few days before. And I'm looking, and I'm like, well, it has to be that one. Because, I mean, I just got off of the Road Glide. I'm walking around, and I'm looking, and I'm like, I get up close to it, and I smell it. So I'm running my hand on around the tank. And then I get down, and I go underneath the carburetor, and it is soaked.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, at least it's not leaking from the pet car because the gas will start ruining your paint job.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I keep it cleaned, and it's just I haven't got it down to this because you have to take everything apart. And while you're there, you just go ahead and get some new gaskets and put everything. And I really think that the bottom bowl, I think that gasket probably needs it. It needs to be replaced. You know, it sits a lot. I try to, as I come in my driveway, to cut the gas off and run it out of the lines and the carburetor. Because, you know, it may sit 2 or 3 weeks. And I guess I didn't do that. But, so, I mean, that's not a huge job. It'll get done. It needs to get done quicker now because I'm going to be down to one motorcycle here.
Yeah. Well, plus, it's, you know, it's always sitting on the left side, the kickstand side, so it's always leaning, so the gas is always in that carburetor.
Yep, and I thought, well, I need to get my little jack and just put it underneath there and keep it level.
Yeah, there you go.
And I haven't done that. I think about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, crap, I didn't do that.
But I got my FXR up on the lift right now.
I saw your picture.
Yeah, I had it was a great Saturday night at an accomplished. I fixed the tachometer.
Okay.
And then I went to plug it into the battery tender, and it wouldn't charge. So the first time ever, one of the inline fuses from that battery tender, it blew.
Really?
Yeah, I've never seen that happen before. So I replaced the fuse, and now she's charging.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Well, is there any update on that shovel head?
No, shovel head's just sitting there looking good.
Okay. As long as it looks good.
Yeah.
And I know I ask you this, I mean, because people are going to start asking. Will it make the journey to Daytona next year?
I don't think so. I don't. Really? I did put some new bars on it because the bars that I had on it, remember I told you the skunk knocked it over in my garage?
Yes.
So I think he had bent the bars a little bit. So I did put on the stock Road Glide bars, my 07 Road Glide, the stock bars. Actually, yeah. I don't even know if they were the stock bars. It was the bars that were on it when I bought it. And I'm not sure if they were stock. They have a weird, they have a kind of a cool bend to them.
Yeah, and they're not like, yeah, they're a short.
Yeah.
They're not like a Heritage bar or a Mini 8.
Yeah, so like I was up in my shelving, up in my garage, I was like up on my ladder, and I look over, I see the bars sitting there, and they seem pretty straight across. So I don't want any like pull back on them. So I was looking at them, so I grabbed them, brought them down, and then so I cut them in half, and I had to shorten them.
Yeah, because they would have stuck out.
Yeah, they were a little wide.
Yeah.
But then
how much did you have to cut out?
Probably a good inch and a half.
Oh, okay.
Out of the middle, because I have the old riser.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to cut them in the middle. You got to cut them in half anyways, because they're two-piece bars. Yep.
Okay.
But I put them on. And it really brought the Japanese, I don't even want to say bobber, Japanese style shovel head to it.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, so I was like, wow, that looks really, that's like, you know, kind of bike you would see in Japan. That's what they do, and I like their style. So, but it wasn't enough to put gas in it and start it up because, you know, I'm a stunt guy now, so I'm just all into the FXR.
Exactly. Yes, you are a stunt guy. You very wealthy because you're buying tires.
No, the tires aren't. I got plenty of 16-inch tires laying around the house. But
I saw that video and I'm like, that is awesome. It's fun.
You want to know a funny thing is? You saw the video, and 38,000 other people watched that video.
Really?
Yeah.
You put it out there on Instagram?
Yep, just an Instagram reel. And 30,000.
You should be. Did you get some money for that?
It's funny you said that. Today I was looking up, how do I make money off my Instagram reel? But no, I haven't figured it out yet. But I think you got to have a certain amount of followers.
Yeah, you got to have. Yeah, it's.
But like
there's
I said,
so many things on that.
But 38,000 views, and I gained like 140 followers. It's like,
wow! Oh, God.
And actually, all the stunt guys, you know, I had a bunch of messages. You know, they would, you know, saying for my first time, it was really good. It technically wasn't drifting, so I did write it wrong. It's not drifting, they say, which is fine because I wasn't quite sure what to call it. I kind of knew it wasn't drifting. But it was kind of like a slide. So
fun with the FXR in your driveway.
Yeah, the FXR right in my driveway. Yeah, yeah. People were saying I was pretty brave for my first time doing it so close to my truck. But I have been doing like rolling burnouts. I've been practicing doing really slow rolling burnouts, just going in a straight line.
Yeah.
And I was getting pretty, you know, pretty decent at it. Like I felt like I had good control and I could, you know, good balance. So I was like, I told my son, I said, hey, I want you to video me. I'm going to try to, you know, kind of swing it around and do some donuts right here in the driveway.
You did.
And he was all about it. He loved it.
That's awesome.
So I did it and I was like, it was fun. So I've practiced a little bit more. So I'm getting to the point where I'm going to hopefully be able to do a couple of donuts in a row.
And okay. I'm
going to have them film it more too. But yeah, it's strangely addicting.
Yeah, I posted on there. It was you're an HOA nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, now funny. you need to get the Mustang out and. Do a lap in the neighborhood with it again.
Yeah, the Mustang is really loud. So I even, because my neighbor was out, I said, is your baby sleeping right now? He said, no, she's right there playing. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go do some donuts in my driveway. So he's like, go right ahead. He doesn't care.
Come over and watch. Bring the baby.
Yeah. Come watch my first one. And then, you know, the wife was saying, you would have got over 1 million views if you shot it right off the back of the driveway in the woods.
Yeah, and it landed in a tree. Yes, you would.
Yeah.
But you would have been Instagram famous.
Yeah. But I feel more comfortable. I got like a lot of stunt guys that they're pretty good. They've been I've been messaging them, giving me tips. So I gotta get a Shinko 777 tire for the front.
Okay.
That'll give me some more grip. And just keep practicing. So
well, I mean, and it's getting cooler, so it's not like you're doing it in July when it's real hot. So
yeah. Well, and plus I did pump up the pressure in my rear tire, so it spins.
Okay.
Yeah,
so it spins a little easier, yeah.
Yeah.
And then one day your wife's going to come home and the whole driveway is going to be full of burnout marks.
Well, that's the plan.
Yeah, well, it's your driveway. You can do what you want.
Yeah. It was funny because I fixed my tack. I had posted I'm fixing my tack, and I got a few comments. You know, this kid messaged me. He said, you don't need a tack. He said, I don't need it, but it's nice that I know that it works now.
Yeah. It's cool to have.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'll ever look at it, but it's good to know that it works.
Yeah, you know when you're hitting the rev limiter, you can hear it.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to see it.
I'm going to have to change the oil in the FXR, too, so.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, that's easy. What is that, 3.5 quarts?
Yeah, and I do have a chrome outer primary cover on its way for the FXR.
Where'd you get that?
I was trying to find an OEM one.
Yeah.
I couldn't. I found an OEM inner primary was $750.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so.
You didn't find anything on the FXR trader on Facebook or?
Nope. Nobody. Trader? Yeah. I feel like chrome is coming back, so.
Oh yeah, it is.
Yeah, so I ended up, I had to buy a V-twin. I think it's V-twin manufacturing.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I bought it from JP Cycles. It got good reviews. Everybody said the fitment was good, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's not going to be chrome from when Harley used to do it, but, I mean, really, come on. If you could find an OEM and it wasn't beat to death, were they a grand, probably?
Yeah, I mean, who knows if it's warped or if it's, you know, you never know, but.
Yeah, you never know, especially if it's cheap.
I definitely would like OEM, but I settled for something else.
Be fine. And then your thrashing derby cover should fit up on it.
Yeah, but that's black, and so that's going to get...
Oh, so you're not going... Okay, so now you got to buy one, a chrome.
Yeah, I got a chrome one. It says 80-inch Harley-Davidson. 80 cubic inch, I think it says.
Okay, yeah. I remember those.
Yeah, so I got that one. So that.
Hey, because you have... It's a three-hole.
Three-hole, yep.
Yep, okay.
And it... I told you the funny thing about, I always knew my FXR was kind of a Frankenstein bike, you know, it had a mismatched motor. It wasn't matching, you know, nothing's original really on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I found out that it's a 93 motor out of an FXRS Sport Edition.
Really?
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool. So now I always used to tell people I had an 1988 FXRS, but now I'm going to tell people I have a 1993 FXRS.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And what'd you do? Just put the motor number in some VIN check or something?
Well, I checked. Well, Lowbrow Customs actually has a really good VIN decoder on their website.
Okay. Yeah.
So I just, you know, I took a picture of my VIN on the motor and kind of just read through their articles, and they kind of show, they'll show pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, the 10th digit is your...
year.
Model, and then yeah, and then you go by the last number is the year. The only thing I remember is the letter L is for an evolution motor.
Oh, okay.
And I think mine is it's EG, which is Sport Edition.
Yeah, because the EK is a police.
Yep. So EG, L, P. I think P is 1993.
Okay. Cool. That is cool.
Yeah. So you know, it's like. I ordered parts, and I also learned stuff about the FXR, so it was a win-win.
You know, you could probably do this. You could go to the Harley shop and get friends with the with the service guy back there and give him the identification number, and he can go on HDNet and he can tell you what color it was, where it came from, and who bought it new.
Really? But, well, that...
What dealership it was sold at.
Oh, see, yeah, that's the thing. Well, that would be for the frame, because I have the full VIN for the frame, but the VIN on the motor is just an abbreviated VIN.
Yeah, yeah, because so, the last six or something match.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think it's the last seven numbers of the actual VIN. So it's just kind of an abbreviated, which was good. I still, you know, I was able to find out the year and everything, which makes that's it good cool. for ordering parts.
Yeah, but you wonder what bike, you know, what life it led.
Yeah,
what
I know.
Was it? Who was riding it? Did has it been to Sturgis?
I know, right? That would be. You know, it's funny. The Voice of Reason just bought a 1993 FXR convertible, pretty much from the original owner. So he's the second second owner of this convertible.
Wow, what color is it?
It's black, and it's got like the orange and red stripes around the beams.
Oh yeah,
but it didn't have the convertible bags, the original convertible bags.
Yeah, I had a set of those one time, and I sold them. I said on eBay because the marketplace wasn't pretty hot, and I knew that I had priced them too low because they were gone like within 2 hours. It may have been Craigslist.
I hate when that happens because then you're like, but if I put it up $200 more, they could be still sitting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I have some Dyna convertible bags upstairs that I'm going to run. Cause I really been wanting a Y-Glide and I want an FXR. So I'm kind of torn.
I mean,
I'm gonna get one of those.
If you're asking me, in my mind, I don't know if it's just right now because my mind is just FXR only.
Yeah, yeah. But
an FXR is a lot cooler than a Dyna in my mind. I mean,
yeah, it is. I mean, you they're very rare. Only weirdos like us that have had them, and you still have yours. Walk up, yeah, oh yeah, oh that's cool, you know.
Yeah,
and people that like motorcycles are like, what is it? You know, yeah. They haven't been made since they're 23. What? So 2000 was the last one.
Was it? Yeah, when that's when they rebirthed them. So they 94 to
2000.
No,
oh, no, the 80. Well, they had shovels, so 83 to 2000.
Yeah, 82 to. Well, 82 to 94 was like the real FXR.
Yeah, yes, yes.
And then they had the FXR 1, 2, 3, and 4.
3, yeah. Yeah, and that was what, 99 and 2000?
Must have been 96, 97, 98, 99. Because I know the 2000 was the FXR 4.
Yes.
Because there was a guy who I delivered stuff to him, and he had a tangerine one.
Oh yeah,
sitting in his driveway, and he was the original owner. So I was talking to him, and I would have bought it for $6,000, but I said because he wanted to sell it, and he's like, so what do you think it's worth? And he said he told me the first time I saw him, he said, if I could get 8 to 10, I'd be happy. I said, all right, that you're in the ballpark.
Yes.
But then the next time I saw him, he had cleaned it, and all of a sudden, his price went up to $14,000. I said, "All right, gotta go."
Yeah, that. And then there are the CVOs, is what I call them. You know, the yellow one's pretty sought after, but the one with the flames, the purple and blue.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But
I want to say that was a very rare one, and then there was a really, really dark purple.
Okay.
And it had the 21-inch front lace wheel.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and they had a red one, too. I'm going to get one of those FXR books.
Yeah, the Bizarre Book of FXRs? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be good.
I've got some older books from the, I'd say, late 90s, early 2000s, and there's a lot of that stuff in there from way back. And then I have one book And it's small, but it has a lot of information in it. And it gives a big rundown because it was probably, I want to say the book came out in 03.
Okay. Yeah, because there's so many things about FXRs that are different. Like Bob and I were talking, you know, the plaque, the belt drive plaque?
Yes.
Like, you know, it's like, when did those come out? When did they start making them? Those little things like that is what I want to know.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and I have a few parts that are still, I've sent you pictures. I mean, I have a FXR horn. It was a parts and accessories. It fits around the bottom of the frame. I have two, and all these are new old stock in the package. I got two chrome belt guards. I got the Illuminator kit, aluminum and chrome. I've got tons of stuff I've bought. Just, I was like, oh, okay, that's going home with me.
So, all right, let's talk about that. Did you follow the FXR tour at all with the Fast Life? And
what I could, like I said, I was out of town in Daytona. So, I mean, I had my phone, but I mean, I hardly posted anything. I took some pictures. I mean, we were on the move. The weather was so good. We got up early in the morning and ate breakfast and we're gone. So I'm catching up. I know there was I watched a short YouTube. What's today? Maybe it was last night or night before. I'm going to go back and rewatch it. I think I fell asleep and I missed a pretty good bit of it, but
must have been pretty good.
Yeah. I started it, but, I've been listening to a few podcasts and then, you know, loosely followed it, but when you're gone, you know, you're gone all day. I wasn't sitting, you know, not like I'm at work. I can play on my phone.
Yeah. Well, when you said you had breakfast, was it at the Waffle House?
No, I did not eat at the Waffle House.
Oh boy.
I was every time I rode by, it looked a little crowded. And I'm like, I don't want to wait in line
for the Waffle House. Yeah, I guess it's
because I can go to them because they're right by my house.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's a little different for you.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, when we get to Daytona next year, we will make a point and we will get to go to Waffle House. And
for sure,
you don't have that in New Hampshire.
No, we do not. So yeah, so the FXR tour. So you know, FXR division was in it. They had a nice bike that did.
Oh yeah, they all were nice. The pictures I saw.
Yeah, I think the best one in my eyes was that Main Drive Cycles, Corey.
Yep.
Yeah, that blue one. It was just really, really well done.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the floorboards on the front?
Yes.
They were it looks to me like rear touring floorboards.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's exactly what it is. And he makes all that OEM stuff fit. He does good work, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're just clean and, you know, everything looks like it came directly from the factory that way. Even the wheels that he put on it. And
yep.
Yeah. And then I love the choppers. I love the FXR choppers. I think they're so cool. Yeah. But me, I want original paint.
Yeah.
And bags. I just like that. That's just.
Yeah, I mean,
just me.
I want another FXR, and it has to have original paint. I don't like the fact that my bike. I don't mind because it's a different motor, blah blah blah. But
yeah,
I would like an FXR with original paint. So, but and then you had My Machinist, like you.
Oh yeah.
His was the total opposite of original. He made every part on it and stuff. I like the color of it. It looked decent, but the swing arm. The way he did the swing arm, the shocks were like straight up and down.
Yeah.
On the rear, that's the only thing that caught my eye. It looked kind of funny, but the rest of it looked pretty cool.
Oh yeah, I mean he designed all that right out of his head.
Yeah.
Put it in a CNC machine and made that.
Yep.
And then they rode them, you know, 1,000 miles.
Yeah, they rode them to Born Free, and I guess from what I can gather. Clem's Speed Shop. He made this red FXR that didn't look comfortable. Didn't look like he could ride it 400 miles.
Yeah, no.
But it took first place, so it must have been really, really nice in person. I bet you because it won first place at Born Free. So.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know there's going to be, I'm sure, a bunch of
videos coming out, because I've seen some pop up on my, you know, my YouTube feed where it says, you know, Born Free Texas and all that. And I'm like, I'll make sure I click and I'll go back and watch it. You know, because it's coming up, you know, winter time, and there'll be some rainy days and we can catch up on the YouTube watching. But those are some cool bikes. Those are, that's just, a lot of people don't like it. You know, they're the, because, you know, coming back from Daytona, the big wheel thing is still there and the stereo.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and there was one show at the Speedway. There had to have been 150 bikes. I don't know if they were all there for the show, but, you know, from a distance, I just saw that whole area. And you could hear it because they were all 150 of them were playing their stereo.
Yep, that's funny. So all right, so before we get into your roguelike, because I'm interested in what happened with your roguelike, I want to ask you this. So you buy an all-original, right down to the handlebars, pegs, FXR. You buy all-original.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think you'd keep those handlebars, but...
No, I would change the handlebars. I would do some tasteful things, kind of like what I did on my Daytona Dyna.
Okay, yep.
Just to, you know, dress it up, I would try to get as much chrome as I could. You know, I would put T-bars on it.
Okay. So, but you take off the original parts. What, do you toss them? What are you going
to
do?
No. They would go in a tote, and it would write on the outside of it what it was.
Okay, all right.
So when I did part with it, that, you know, to me, and I've said this before, and I've had people that, you know, agreed with me, you know, I think it means more when you sell a bike and be like, look, here's all the original parts.
Yeah. Well, like I said, the Voice of Reason just bought that FXR for a really good price. And he has all the receipts, over $10,000 in receipts that this guy is, you know, oil changes, batteries, everything. Every year he had, it went to storage. So it's a really cool piece that he bought. And so he, you know, he's just like you. He's going to modify it, because I don't even think you can really ride it with those handlebars, because I'm a little taller.
Yeah.
And he's about my height.
Pushing a wheelbarrow.
Yeah. So, you know, do a couple mods, seat, handlebars, and exhaust, and that's it. With the original paint, it's just going to be a cool looking convertible bike.
Mm-hmm. Does it have the cast wheels with the, they're kind of smooth on the outside and rough on the inside?
Yep. The 9-spoke wheels with the, like kind of a polished lip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've seen those on a bike, and somebody took them and had them professionally polished. You know, they spent a lot of time. And it's not chrome, but it just makes that wheel pop.
Oh, yeah.
With that rough casting in the middle and then the smooth. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's another thing I'm changing on my FXR. I'm taking the orange wheels off. I'm going back to my 9-spokes. I'm going to have those powder coated like a silver, kind of like a color. Yeah, just change it up a little bit.
Yeah, feel like you're riding a new motorcycle.
Yeah, exactly.
You going to do another different seat?
No, I love that seat. I love the La Perra seat.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I love the paint job. I love everything about my FXR. I just like to change little things here and there.
Yeah, man, it's fun. That's what will get you through the winter.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm ordering up a bunch of parts and give me stuff to do in the winter.
Yeah. Well, and then, okay. Is it going to make it to Daytona?
I think the FXR will make it to Daytona.
Okay.
Well, like I said, because, you know, if stunt shows happen in the middle of the street, I'm going to have to jump in.
Oh, of course. We're going to go to that place right off of Beach Street, and you're going to be out there getting right in the middle of it.
Yeah. You know what's funny is when we were there at Beach Street at that shop, and the guys were doing the stunt show in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I was at Indian Larry Block Party, and I was watching this one guy. He was riding an 03 Dyna, and he was really, like, really smooth, really in control, doing these nice, I think this, he's like really inspired me. He was doing these really nice and slow, like donuts, and doing, like, you know, nice wheelies, just like in control. So I started talking to him, and, you know, and it was funny because then I go on my phone and I start watching those videos that I took of that night. And it was the same guy. Yeah. So I was like, wow, that's too funny.
Yeah. There was nothing going on at that spot because I rode by it a couple times.
Oh, that shop?
Yep.
So the weather was pretty good then, huh?
Oh, man, the weather was perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Mid-80s, sunshine. So, yes, perfect.
What would you say about the crowd? Because from the pictures I saw from, like, Willie's show and everything, it looked like the crowds were down.
Well, okay, so I messed up on Willie's. I left here on Tuesday, got to Savannah. So I was in Daytona Wednesday. Well, in my mind, I was a day behind. So when I thought, I was like, is Willie's today? And then I'm looking, I'm like, yep, that's today. I had like an hour to get over there. So I went, and when I pulled up, there was probably 10 bikes left.
Oh, so,
but yes, I missed it. And I went to the hardcore show. I kind of buzzed through it. There was not a lot there, but I didn't go in the very beginning. I caught it about midway through.
Okay.
Or maybe it was closer. Let's see. I think it ended at 4, and I probably rolled through there about 2:30, 2:45. So, yeah, it was a good ways through, actually. But everywhere else we went, like the Iron Horse, I waited in line over an hour for beef tips.
Wow.
So when you walked around the first building, the first bar.
Yep.
And you know, it's paved right there, and you're, they kind of line up where that t-shirt shop is on the left.
Yep.
That's where the line started.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it was packed. Everything across the street, Broken Spoke was, you couldn't have got another motorcycle in that place.
All right. So the crowds were up. Did you see anything for sale? Anything you like for sale?
No, not really. Huh. I didn't go to the swap meet. No. We rode the whole entire time. We went down to New Smyrna, went all the way down to the beach and ate down there. I hadn't done that in a couple of years. Went down to the North Turn and the South Turn where they used to race on the beach.
Yep. Okay.
You know, when you go eat there, you eat and you kind of leave, so you don't really get to kind of go through their little museum and go outside and see that plaque and ride to the other end. So we made a special trip for that. And we rode, went down to the Hidden Treasures and the Ponce Inlet.
Oh, yeah. I like the lighthouse. Yep.
Yep. And just made our way, you know, around there. I didn't get to stop in. You're there and you're gone. You're like, oh, I want to go over there. And, you know, you just get sidetracked here and there. I didn't go see the guys at Hog there on US-1.
Hog riding?
Yeah, that fixed my tire. You know, I bought a tire from him. And he even had a party and everything. And I saw it the next day on Instagram. I didn't pick up my phone. I mean, I left. And this is what I did. So I had to leave here in the dark, and I didn't want to ride in the dark down 26 to 95, that part of the state, and dark, no thank you. So I put it on the trailer, and I left my truck and trailer at Savannah at the Harley shop.
Oh, I like this.
They let you park it there.
Now you're talking. I like putting the bike in the back of the truck and going destinations.
So then that only left me like 202 miles to ride. Yeah, so that was easy. So, I mean, there was just, we stayed on the go. I camped at the Daytona 200 campground.
And you survived?
I survived. I'm officially retiring from camping.
Good. It took long enough.
I mean, like I said, I do this every 3-4 years, and I know I don't do it, but every 3-4 years, but I think I'm completely retired.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun for what it is, and you get to sit around and get to talk to a lot of people, get to meet some people, and, you know, because you're all right there together in the evening or in the morning. But, yeah, I think, you know, just renting a condo or a house with some good people that are like-minded that want to go out and ride and see things and, you know, and take in bike week. That's for me.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, and I love the Daytona 200. Guys, it is a over 80 years old motorcycle club, AMA sanctioned motorcycle club, not a like a 1% club. This is a motorcycle organization, and they're still called clubs. They are sanctioned by the AMA, which is American Motorcycle Association. They're over 80 years old. They have a clubhouse. The two fundraisers they have each year, Spring Bike Week and Biketoberfest. It's a nice campground. They got indoor showers, outdoor showers. It just, it's primitive. And yeah, I'm just, I'm over camping. So Brian has retired from camping at Bike Week.
All right, good.
But yeah, it was a good time. I mean, there was a lot of, people. We went on, I rode the loop twice.
Was it flooded?
Yes. Okay, so you know when you come, and if you've been down there, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody's listening. So if you come from A1A to
Beach Front Avenue,
yeah, that one. like John Anderson Boulevard, you know, and you can take it and ride it, and it goes back into town, and you're on the beach side.
Oh, like what? You're talking like from TGI Fridays?
No, say if you were on A1A coming, say, from Flagler.
Okay.
And you pull off on that road and you come to where it's a T.
Oh, yep.
And you take a left and you'll wind your way around, you know, and you have the beach on the right and the intercoastal on the, the intercoastal on the right, beach on the left.
Yep.
So if you go on up, and you ride, and I cannot think of what that road is, to where you have the intercoastal on the right and town. I got it backwards. Town on the right, intercoastal on the left. That, you know, I rode it so many times, I can't even tell you what the name of that. That part where you go, where that road looks like it is going into the swamp, well, it was completely covered. Oh. And they had signs. And I was like, should I turn around? But then a whole group of motorcycles passed me, like 15 bikes. And I'm like, well, there's no way they had to come that way. So I get up, and there was a fairly, like a van, some kind of moving van in front of me. So I slowed down because I was like, I can't see around this guy. And so he gets gone. And then I see it. I'm like, oh, it has covered the road, and you can barely see the yellow line.
Okay.
Great. But I'm already here, and it's not like super deep. I mean, I can see the line through the water. So I just got in the middle, and there's cars coming, and I'm like, and they stopped, and I went through, and it was water on the road a lot of places.
Oh, interesting. I've never seen that before.
Yeah. It's, and actually, I got an alert on my phone. And another guy at the campground was talking, and he goes, where's this flooding coming from? And I thought, oh, that's river flooding.
Yeah.
Because there's no forecast. I mean, the forecast of rain was like 2% or something.
Okay.
I mean, it was perfect weather. I did not go last year. That's probably my 10th, 12th. That could have been 15th time going in the fall. And that was, I would have to say, the best weather I can remember in probably 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
Because I've been down there, it was 100 degrees, and it was miserable.
Yeah.
And all you wanted to do is get wherever there's air conditioning and quit sitting on top of the motorcycle.
Yeah, 90 degrees at night, just melting.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, if you were camping then, yeah.
Yeah, no.
It was humid at night, but again, it was good. Biketoberfest, if you've never been, and you don't like a lot of crowd because spring is crowded. No, regardless of the weather, you're going to wait everywhere you go. We walked into Giuseppe's Pizza, walked right in, got a table.
Oh,
that's hard to do in the spring.
I'm definitely going to Giuseppe's Pizza because I've never been. I went there. We went there last year on the, I don't know what day it was, but it was closed. It was the only day they were closed. So I was like, come on.
I want to say Monday.
Was it? Were you with me?
No.
Oh.
I think we rode by because we were going to the last resort, wasn't we?
Yeah, I forget what it was, but yeah.
Yeah. So,
But anyway. Yeah,
but one place I rode out to, and I don't know if you've ever been, if you go to Main Street, New Smyrna, I call it Main Street. I think it's really called Beach Street. And you go all the way to the end. There's a place called the Breakers, and it is literally sitting on the beach because that's where you get on and you can drive up and down the beach. That's a cool place.
Okay.
Now it got hot there. I mean, sun was out, but you could find some shade. We walked down on the beach and just looked at it, but it was a good time. It was a good time other than my incident.
Yeah. So let's, all right. Well, I got a few things. All right. We'll talk about your incident, but then I want to talk about, I've been on Facebook Marketplace, you know, looking at bikes.
Okay.
I want to talk about the market here. See what you think, if I'm thinking the right things or what. But, all right, let's talk about the Road Glide. What was your incident?
Well, you know when you pull up to a gas station and you're on your bike, you try to give yourself some room between your bike and the pump.
Yeah.
So you can get out, get the hose, and you're not beating the side of your bike. Well, I pull into that road right there before you start the loop that has a 7-Eleven on the right, right there almost on the highway.
Yeah, I know exactly. I know exactly where you are.
It's a big, we were going to ride the loop the other direction.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I need gas. I'm sure they do too. So we just whipped in there. And I was like, it's big enough. If everybody wants a Pepsi, whatnot. And once we're filled up, we can move because the parking lot is huge. Well, I've been to that station. I can't count how many times I've been there. Pull up, park the bike. I leave my helmet on because I know we're pumping gas and leaving. Put my card in. And you know, I do it pretty quick. Well, I put my card in, and as I'm taking it out, I hear this horrible noise. And I look over, and my motorcycle is laying on its side.
What?
So when you pull up to that pump, it's flat near the pump, but then the cement, it goes down. And it goes down a pretty good bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to say about 3-4 feet. So my front tire was on the flat part. My rear tire was on the part going down. And it was seconds.
So it rolled backwards?
It fell over on the right.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, so what kind of damage are we talking?
Oh, yeah. Inner fairing, outer fairing.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Bag. Yep. Bag lid.
Oh, boy. Okay, all right. So I guess that's why you're going to be riding the soft tail.
Yeah. Right. Brake pedal. Floorboard.
Really? Jesus.
Hand guard. Bent the handlebar.
Oh, wow, you did. So the crash bar pretty much did nothing, huh?
It's still being made. I don't have it yet.
Oh.
I'm like, okay, nobody got hurt. You can buy motorcycle parts. They make millions of them. Yeah. I mean, at first I was like, dang it, I hate that happened. But then I was like, I'm mad at myself because I'm pretty cautious and careful of what I do. You know, I don't pull out in front of people. I try to obey the speed limit as much as I think I can. And I'm a pretty cautious rider. And to do something like that, I'm like, how stupid.
Yeah.
But nobody got hurt.
Yeah.
Just parts. We can buy, like I said, they make millions of it. We can buy parts all day long. That's easy.
Yeah.
But yes, my engine guard is not here yet.
That's funny because I got a lot of comments saying, the guy's saying, I'd put a crash bar on there. I'd invest in a crash bar because if you're learning, you might fall and you don't want to, mess up those tins. But I had a crash bar on that bike originally and I took it off and sold it. So I might put one back on. I don't know.
Well, I mean, they make short ones that are actually, I think, look pretty good.
Yeah. FXR Division makes the narrow. Looking one, yeah, they're pretty cool. I might actually get one of those. They're not crazy expensive, so I might actually get one.
Okay. So yeah, that's my story on Daytona. So when you pull into a gas station, you're gonna pump gas in your motorcycle. Look to make sure that the area is flat, all the way. Get all the way up on it. Don't get half and half.
Yep. Well, lesson learned, but
lesson learned.
All right. All right. So, all right, let's jump over to, oh, wait, before we do that. So Suspension Technologies.
Yes.
You went visited them.
I got to hang out with Mike and the gang.
Is Pete?
I'm trying to write everybody's name down, and I forget. But you got Mike. You got Steve. He's got two techs, and their names have slipped my mind. And I talked to them a bunch. They're young guys. They're good motorcycle mechanics. But I had the Suspension Technologies front end put in my bike, and it is a game changer. When I say that, I'm talking, it handles better. I knew it would. I guess I've had Legends and I've had Progressive, a ton of those.
Okay.
For some reason, it completely changed the way that motorcycle rides. It tracks down the road straighter, and it just hangs in a curve. There's zero diving whatsoever on the front end.
That's good.
I mean, none. I mean, it just tracks down the road so straight. It was so funny riding down 95. It was effortlessly easy to change lanes. Just whipping, and I'm not whipping in and out of traffic, but we're moving pretty quick to avoid traffic and get over there in the hammer lane. And because if you're not running 90 or 95 on 95, you're getting run over.
Yes. Just
plain and simple. You're going to get yourself hurt. So, but yeah, that was, and I was actually looking for rough roads, and there's plenty around Daytona because they're all straight and, washed out. But yeah, I'd like to thank Mike and the team there. I mean, they make a great product. I don't think they would not make a great product, because Mike's been in this business a long time. Come from the auto industry, the racing industry. Always had bikes. Said, hey, I can do this. And he had a great rally. He started at the track rally. That was 3 or 4 days before Biketoberfest. Sold out of trike suspensions. Every time I went to his booth there, and it almost was like the spring setup at the Harley shop there. They were a lot of vendors, and yeah, you could walk through there and buy a bunch of parts. He was slammed. They were putting in front ends. They did a couple of brand new CVOs.
Really?
Yeah. Two or three.
Awesome.
He put it up on Instagram. And while we're here, go ahead and find Mike on Facebook at Suspension Technologies out of Largo, Florida. And you can find them on Instagram. They had an issue with their website. It should be back up and running. Someone took over his website. He had to get it back.
So really?
You can buy directly through the website, but you can call them. And at the beginning of our podcast, we'll have all the numbers, addresses, everything where you can find them. But suspensiontechnologies.com, suspensiontechnologiesusa.com. But yeah, totally different motorcycle. And I'm about to put an 18 on the rear, so I think it's going to be even better.
There you go. Nice.
So yeah, that is my story, but you wanted to talk about Marketplace.
Good old Facebook Marketplace.
The love-hate relationship we have with that thing.
Yes. But I don't know. I've noticed that the prices of bikes seem to have been, they're up there for a good price, and they're up there for a couple weeks, and they're starting to go down.
Yep.
So they're obviously not selling.
Yes.
So,
why do you think? Time of year? People are hard up for cash.
That's a good question.
What year bikes? Because I know what you look at FXRs and Road Glides. I look about it the same thing, but I do look at a lot of older softails.
Yeah, I don't know. Like the older Dynas with the Evo motor in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like you can get those for $3,000. You can get them so dirt cheap right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, nice bike with 10,000 miles.
Yeah, like a Dyna lowrider convertible for, you know, $3,000. It's so tempting.
Yeah, I mean, you're like me. You have quite a few bikes. Are you going to ride it? But, you know, for the gal or guy that just tuned into us, you can get on Marketplace. You, with really $3,000, maybe $4,000, you may have to buy tires. There's probably going to be a service. I mean, they're older bikes.
If it's you, you're going to have to buy tires. If it's a normal person, you'll just ride it with the tire.
Yeah, 10-year-old tires. Yeah. But you can get in the motorcycle game, nice, very inexpensively, yeah, and have a good motorcycle. Not so, you know, and it'd be a Harley.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a Sportster.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Sportsters. Don't knock Sportsters.
I know.
But, you know, at $3,000 to $3,500, $4,000 on a 10-15-year-old Dyna, not even that old, you can always get your money back.
Oh, that's what I've always said. A running big twin Harley Davidson is, in my mind, is always worth $4,000, $5,000. Mm-hmm. So it just to see, I mean, I've been seeing some FXRs that were pretty decent for $5,000. 4,800.
I have to.
So it's like, oh man, I'm just waiting for that original paint. I mean,
what about that paint set I sent you? You should have went and bought that for my birthday gift or something.
I know. I'm gonna have to. I'm gonna safely say he probably still has it.
Yeah, except what it was a 750.
Yeah. So, yeah. But there was a kid that I follow on Instagram who. So he must have picked up a Liberty bike, a Liberty FXR bike.
Oh yeah, those are cool.
Yeah, and he's selling the tins and the frame. So $1,800, I think it was for the tins. And then $3,500 if you want the tins and the frame.
Ooh. I've bought running and driving bikes for that. It is a 1 year only, and if somebody's tank, if it fell over, you know, that they're going to step up. Hey, I just bought a 94 Heritage Nostalgia set. I got to go grab it down in Georgia.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I mean, that they don't make that stuff anymore, and I like it.
Yeah.
I put it upstairs with the – and that. I'm going to go to the Smokeout next year, and I'm going to ride – now, I'm not building a chopper. I may get an older Softail and put that set on. Because I think I'm going to get you to come next year.
I think, well, already next year, my summer is going to be a lot better because I'm not going to have the same job.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to have a real part-time job.
Okay.
So I'm going to work only 3 days a week.
Oh.
And it'll be very flexible. So if I need the time off,
yeah,
I'll be able to tell him. And, you know, he's totally fine with it. I've already told him, like, with this job, I've missed some bike events, some camping events with the family. I've missed a bunch of stuff this summer that I really don't want to miss it ever again.
Yeah, no, yes.
So the Smokeout is a real option. And like I said, I'm going to be getting laid off from this job mid-November, so I really wish there was something I could go to. I just want to put the FXR in the back of the pickup truck and drive, and then unload it. And right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you can always come to South Carolina because we're going to have nice weather till December.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Yeah. That can be arranged because, yeah. I mean, if I come your way, we meet halfway. The weather's not all that great 500 miles from here.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, definitely the further south I can get would be the better.
Yeah, the further south. Yeah. Now, literally, I would say when we first got on, this is the best time of year to ride. Now, granted, you're going to lose some time here, but those Saturdays when, you know, it's 70 degrees, 65 degrees, jacket, man, that is perfect. Some of the banners of people watching football, so there's nobody out, you know, yeah, trying to mess up the road drum. But, yeah, this is a great time of year to ride. But it's riding fun on motorcycles, too. And to add to that, you asked me a question and we got off on a few tangents. I mean, time of year, that makes a big difference because, okay, so when I see something I like, I save it. Okay, well, I don't know what it is with Marketplace. I can go back the next day and it's not saved.
Yeah, well,
have you noticed that?
Yeah,
and well, I clear out of and wait a couple hours and go back in and I can find it again.
Well, that literally just happened to me because I had saved. This guy had an FXR and he was willing to trade for like a shovel head, specifically a shovel head. So, you know, I got my mind going. I'm like, oh, I'll trade my shovel for another FXR. I saved it. And then, like, you know, the next day I went back because I was like, oh, maybe I'll message him, you know, cause, you know, after thinking about it. And it's gone. I'm like, what the? And then, so, but his price was like $10,500. And this was a 1984 FXR. It wasn't, it's not a $10,000 bike.
Yeah.
So, all right. So then as we're doing this podcast, I look at it and it's back up. Now it's at $8,500. Still wants to trade for a shovel head and all the same things, but it's just, so he must have deleted that ad. I lose it in my saved column. Yeah. And then he reposts it and then I have to find it again.
Yeah, because I'd saved quite a few FXRs. Some original paint. Actually, a really, really nice one. It just, I'm like, you know, $9,500. That's, yeah. I mean, okay. If I didn't have to spend a dime on it, if it had, oh, I just bought the tires last year. Service. It's got brakes. There's already a pipe on it. There's bars. But I know there's going to be $2,000 or $3,000 because that stuff adds up quick.
Oh, yeah.
You know, does it need, okay, when was the last time the brake fluid was changed? Oh, I ain't never done it. Oh, well. You know, and it's old, and you start messing around with a brake line. Well, it breaks. And what do you got to buy a new brake line. And then it's just, yeah, downhill. I mean, I would love to have one of those, you know, 99, 2000, you know, the
FXR4. The
DVOs, FXR, yeah, the FXR 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you say FXR, I can definitely picture you on one of those.
Really?
Yeah, but it's just your
style. Like my 87 FXRP.
No, that's, you don't fit on. In my eyes, you don't fit on that. You definitely fit on a CVO FXR. I could definitely picture coming down to your house and you sitting on a tangerine.
Oh yeah.
FXR, yeah, I can just picture it.
Yeah, I'm picturing myself on it right now. The FXR is, I mean, this is so cool. They all are cool. I love them all.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but okay, I'm going to ask you. Do you love your FXR more than you love your Roguelike?
All right. So, all right, if you asked me that 2 months ago, I'd say I love my Roguelike. But even though I just rode my Roguelike up and over the mountains and everything,
mm-hmm.
I would still say I'm more in love with the FXR. It's just a different riding experience.
It is. You don't pull up and see one. How many road glides are sitting out there?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there was 3-1 road glide versus Batwing.
Really? Yeah. Batwings really took a big hit.
Yeah.
They're coming back, though.
Yeah. And when we get off here, I'll send you some pictures of a cool bike I saw.
Okay.
Pretty tricked out stuff. I met a guy. He's somewhat local to me. I'm going to go see some stuff he's got. And another guy I met a while back, he's making his own parts close by here too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. My powder coating guy drove by the shop. He must have got kicked out of that shop, but not kicked out, but he must have abandoned that shop and he's got a new spot. So I'm going to go check it out this week. I'm going to bring him my 9 spokes and I told him, I said, if you need someone to help you over the winter, I might, come in a couple nights and maybe I'll get to do my own powder coating, learn how to do that. That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah. Hey, and that'd be a great job for the winter.
Yeah,
exactly. Standing there next to the oven.
That's true.
That'd be fun, yeah. Hey, before we end this episode, this is a question, and we're going to build on this over next couple episodes. Technology in motorcycles. So the CVO came out. It has a touchscreen on it that looks like a car. Have you seen one yet?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think?
I don't, I mean, it's nice.
Yeah.
If you're going to be on that, if you're you're going to be on that bike and you're riding cross country, it's really nice.
Yeah.
But to me, it kind of takes being on a motorcycle. Yeah, because for me, after a day of work, jumping on the motorcycle, jumping on the FXR, and just kind of cruising, listening to the motor, not having any distractions, is what really brings me the motorcycle. So it's if I jump on that brand new CVO, I got everything right in front of me. My phone rings. I can see who's calling. I can answer it, or you know, whatever.
Yes, you said everything that I had. Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Okay.
So my job, I sit at a computer and I'm on the computer and the phone somewhat, but you know, I'm doing paperwork and computer all day in office by myself, unless we have appointments, people walking in or, you know, other employees there. So when I ride my motorcycle, I don't want that. Sometimes I listen to music, but I'm telling you, I listen to a few podcasts on the way down. And then on the way back, nothing.
Yeah.
Didn't listen to anything. And while I was riding around, there was one time I put on some music while we were riding up A1A, heading up the fins and all that. But all the other times, I was just out riding. And it made me think, because I was there at the Harley shop, and they probably sold 100 of those CVOs. And they're awesome. They're cool. If Harley called up and said, hey, do you want to ride one? And be like, yeah, I'll ride it cross country. But yeah, the technology, and we're around technology all day. I mean, where you're talking, you're sitting in New Hampshire. I'm sitting in South Carolina. We have to have technology.
Yeah. I mean, technology is great. And
yeah, but not in every aspect of my life.
No, but just a quick update. My Instagram reel just hit 39,000 views.
Wow. You should be getting a check.
I'm going to have to email them.
Yeah. I think you have to set it up as a business.
Or, yeah, you have to get it monetized or something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, whatever. Hey, if you start making money on your reels and burnouts, you know, maybe you buy the Upshift Podcast a couple of FXRs.
Hey, I would do that.
So I can just fly to New Hampshire and go to Laconia on FXR.
Yeah, that would be, yeah, do some podcasts. That would be ideal.
That is probably what will happen.
All right, I'm gonna throw this out there to our 17 listeners.
And while we're talking about listeners, I want to give a shout out to our Canadian listeners. We have a ton of downloads in Canada.
Nice.
So the Canadian guys and gals, thank you for listening. I met some cool Canadians from Nova Scotia while I was in Daytona.
Awesome. So what I'm saying is, so we have these, so every, you know, we tell all these stories about FXRs, and you have certain people that you always talk about, and I have the Voice of Reason and my buddy Edwin that we always talk about. What I think we got to bring them on. I think we got to have a third voice in here, and I think it would just make the conversation. I mean, it's great. I love it, you and I talking, but I think we get a third voice in here. I think, you know, our audience would like it a little better.
Yeah. I've been thinking about that. What to do to add more, you know, for our listener.
Yeah.
We are going to do hats and patches for the hat. They're so daggum expensive. I know we've talked about that. Before the end of the week, me and you are going to have to talk on the phone and get a few things. We need to do this and do this and do this.
Yeah.
So we'll gather up and do that. But yes, we need to bring on. And actually, I was going to interview my buddy Dave. When I think of biker Dave, who he's listening, he'll listen to this podcast. He listens to all of them. He is a real biker. He has been riding motorcycles. He's from Michigan, lives in South Carolina now. He's been riding his whole life. He raised his family on a motorcycle. His wife rides. He's retired now, so he rides all the time. But
yeah, see, like you talk, I know about Dave just from hearing you. So I would love to hear Dave.
And you met him in Daytona last year.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Earlier this year, excuse me.
Yeah, so yeah, I'd love to hear Dave on the podcast. And
yeah.
And like, you know, my buddy Bob, he's like,
the Voice of Reason needs to come on here. And he'll listen to this, hopefully by when we get it uploaded here the next day. And
next day,
you have an open invitation to come on. We need a Voice of Reason.
Yeah. I want him to come on and talk about his new FXR because that thing.
I do too, and I want to see pictures of it. And hey, look, you know what I texted you the other day. In January, when it's cold here, and really, really cold where you live, why don't we fly somewhere where it's even colder, and go to Milwaukee and go to the museum when no one is there?
Yeah, I'm definitely down for that.
That we need to do that. I know it doesn't include riding motorcycles, but
well, we could always
we could look at every motorcycle, and no one will be hovering over us.
Yeah, we can do that. We can even do a podcast out there because all the guys that I go to Daytona with, they live out there.
Yes.
So, and my buddy RJ got some suspension technologies put on his Street Glide.
Yes.
So we can ask him about that, get some input, see if he likes it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, things will be coming down the pipe for the Upshift podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, if you've listened to it this long, I mean, you're our number one fan, Bob, Dave,
Jim.
Y'all are probably the only two that's listened over 60 minutes. But
Chris.
Oh, and before we kick out of here, we're still biker movies. I've got a few people that sent me messages, their favorite biker movie. We've already talked about ours. It's Wild Hogs. And later on, we're going to kind of give a list, and I think we're going to review Wild Hogs.
So, do you think... So I've watched, Unknown Industries.
Yes.
They have, it's called The Unknown Ride. It's like a movie. It's like an hour long.
Yeah.
Would that be considered? So if I was a listener, can I send that into you and say I watched that?
Yeah. I mean, it's a documentary, I guess, or.
Yeah. Yeah. They kind of talk about how they got their stunt show started, and because they were pretty much the first ones.
Yeah.
One of the first ones on Harleys to do stunt shows at Harley dealers and stuff like that. So,
yeah. I mean, I think that qualifies. I mean, we're talking about biker Hollywood production movies. I mean, I'm not big into movies anymore. I mean, I can tell you the last one I haven't been to the movie theater in years.
Yeah. Oh, neither have I.
I just don't go. I mean, I don't even think about it. Because I don't watch regular TV. I guess you could Google and they could tell you what's out there, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, in a technology world, you know, yeah, I think the documentary, and again, that's what you watch. That's what I watch. We watch 20, 30 minute videos on YouTube of motorcycling.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, there's so many videos that are pretty, pretty fun. I really like watching, Speed Kings. They have like ride profiles.
Mm-hmm.
So they go, you know, and even Thrash and Supply has bike checks.
They're one of my favorites. And then there's some guys in Canada that I like to watch. What are they called? What are those guys from Canada I've been watching? They just rode from a couple months ago from Born Free all the way back to Toronto.
Hey,
you know what I'm talking about?
I don't, but this is to be continued, and you're going to have an answer next podcast.
I know, and there's some cool guys, and I love their videos. But, yeah, if you've listened to this long, we'll send you something special in the mail.
Stickers. I got plenty of stickers.
We'll get some new stickers, too. But now, I've enjoyed this, Brian. So we're the Upshift guys. You can follow Brian with his 38,000 views on his burnout reel. Where?
The Upshift Podcast _NH.
Yes. And you can follow me at the Upshift Podcast on Instagram and Harley Guy on Instagram and the Upshift Podcast on Facebook. But again, we are the Upshift Podcast, where it's motorcycles all the time, and we love them. FXRs, Road Glides, Softails. I mean, we love them all.
We love them all. And, so I'm going to a swap meet this week, so we'll have some good – the next podcast will be full of good stuff for you guys.
Awesome. Well, we are the Upshift guys, and we are out.
See ya.